Good evening and welcome to this Porter Beach City Council meeting for Monday, December 1st. We'll start the evening with the invocation, and Lloyd Francis, pastor at the Grover Beach Assembly of God, has graciously accepted the job, so we'll have him do that, and then after that we'll stay standing for the flag salute.
May we pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come tonight and do business. We ask for your wisdom and guidance. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Keep our officers safe. Give wisdom to all decisions that must be made tonight. We thank you for your peace. In your most precious holy name, amen.
Thank you. And the flag salute will be led by James R. Cabreros. James, you're going to come forward and lead us in the flag salute.
Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let's give you a little background on James. He's an 11-year-old, sixth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School in Mrs. Smith's class. He is great in leadership and has citizenship skills that are undoubted. He would like to read a brief statement at this point. If you want to go ahead and read that, buddy, go ahead.
My name is James Cabreros, and I'm a sixth grader at Grover Beach Elementary School. Mrs. Smith is my teacher. I like going to school where I know I can learn without anybody telling me that I'm not capable. Hobbies for the Central Coast.
A little certificate of appreciation for doing that flag salute tonight.
Thanks.
And a little bank of goodies.
Okay.
You have a nice Christmas,
okay.
Too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good job. Next on our ceremonial calendar, I'll introduce Chief Bradbury. He has a few individual awards to present. Chief, if you'd come forward and do that.
Closed session.
Hold that thought. Come on up. In the meantime, I'm going to talk about the closed session announcements that we had for Monday, November 17, 2003, in which, So I've been gone for a while. And this is almost Dee's job anyway. So.
Go ahead and say I quit.
Could I? All right, let's do roll call. Did you cut it out?
Here. Here.
Here.
Mayor Arnold.
Here, I think. Now for closed session announcements from Monday, November 17, 2003. We met in closed session after the regular meeting of the City Council. And we had three different items. One was conference of labor negotiator, and the Police Officers Association was the employee group that was represented. And two was conference with legal counsel anticipated litigation. Number three is public employee performance evaluation. City employee was the city attorney. And the City Council reconvened into public session. No reportable actions were taken in closed session. And the City Council meeting was adjourned. Now we'll go into the ceremonial calendar where Chief Bradbury comes forward. No?
No.
I'm still not doing it? Okay, it's your turn, Dee. Rotation of the mayor. Okay, I'm out of here. Thank God. I want an end spot so I can take a nap.
I like your style. We'll be out here by 7:30.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we do? We just...
Look at Martin.
Look at Martin. Okay. You just switch. That's it. No big deal.
Do that.
Thank gosh. Okay. Let me take Daisy.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Actually, maybe you could.
No.
You guys care how you sit?
Yeah, we got to cover the deals.
Because I know Jason wants it up here, so I'll just switch it.
I'm trying not to sit too close to you.
It hasn't worked yet.
Steve, you can check out.
I might just do it to spite him.
Now, boys behave.
I will. I remember the big deal last year when about the outside seating. I was a newbie. I didn't understand, so I might take the outside seat. Yeah. But I'm not going to move. It's too much work.
I'm just going to sit here until I'm told what to do. Okay. It'll be the first time that's happened. Come closer.
New whitening system.
Done by himself. Ron, would you like to say a few words?
I'd just like to thank this council for being so working so well. We don't agree on everything, which is just fine with every, you know, I mean, I think that's the way it should be. But we've worked well. We've set goals and we've done things this year. And moving forward, we've got progress moving, and I appreciate that. I'd also like to thank the staff, especially those people I worked with more often than not, like Gloria and Donna and but mostly those two people. I guess we've had so much interaction between those two people that they've taken messages for me and kept me straight with appointments and everything, and that's really difficult. I need someone to do that. As you can see, on a real lifetime basis, I'm always like a day short and a day short and a dollar. Whatever it is, a day late and a dollar short, whatever. I can't get your statements right. So anyway, thank you. It's been a great year. Great year.
I would just like to thank our outgoing Mayor Arnoldson for his leadership and to acknowledge the direction that this council has taken in this last year. Our leadership has really come together. I feel we have worked so much better as a team between ourselves, between the council and staff. It takes a lot of work for all of us. And to have all different personalities, different religions, different backgrounds, and yet we have gelled very well. And I think a lot of that is because of our mayor, Ron. And I really want to thank you for
thank
that,
you.
Ron. During my tenure, I want to continue with a positive atmosphere and a cooperative spirit, as well as to improve the relationship between the city and the people we serve. For a lot of you that don't know, between a combination of Ron, myself, and Dave, there's over 60 years of service that we have given. And now with Steve and John, it's a continued support. There appears to be several issues that continue to rise in the public comment and letters to the editor, in spite of numerous attempts to explain and address those issues by this council and staff. Even after the September town hall meetings, letters to the editor filled with factual inaccuracies and the negative comments continue to appear. And we try so hard because so many of us are in business. We work with people on the outside. We as a council have to deal with those, and we do our best. There are times when members of the public don't agree with the policy decisions of this city council has made, but that's their right. Continued challenges to those decisions are counterproductive and a creative, decisive atmosphere in the city. The public is invited to participate fully in any decision-making process, Grover, and we so appreciate that. After everyone has had an opportunity to help shape that decision, we should all have a team spirit that supports the chosen direction. The team is composed of the council, staff, and the public, with everyone working towards the goals and directions that is chartered. If everyone involved has a positive attitude and approach, We will make the upcoming year successful and productive. And I really mean that. I mean, it comes from the people that you see out there, the blue-collar workers that get called in the middle of the night. They're there. Our fire department, when help is needed, they are there. Our police department, when in need, you are there. When it comes to our staff and some of the derogatory remarks that you've had to pay and put up with, you're still there, and you have a smile on your face. To Donna, you are priceless. To Gloria, when you answer the phone and some of those negative calls. To the people in the planning department, it takes a lot of time and patience, but you're there. I want to thank you. And anyone else who I have forgotten, all the volunteers who serve on the commissions, they're great people. And it's time away from their families, and I really, really appreciate that. So for our council members, I have some little flags for each one of you. United we stand, divided we fall.
Well, thank you, sir.
Now let's get to work. Before we get to the heavy part of the agenda, I would like just to remind everybody, while we do have an audience, that on Friday we're having our annual holiday tree lighting ceremony. That is put on by our rec department. And please have the children and families come. We're going to have snow, would you believe, in Grover. So this starts at 5:30 to 6:30, and we're going to light the Christmas tree out in front of City Hall. So please bring your families and all the children. And we have candy canes, too. Okay, and then Saturday, we're also going to have our Christmas parade. So please line the streets, and let's show the other cities what we've got here in Grover. And then coming up also is the Holiday of Lights. Please call our rec department, 473-4580, and decorate your homes, decorate your businesses. Let's make Grover shine and show the other cities what we have. Okay, the city council is going to have a brief recess, a reception of sorts, and about 15 minutes maybe, and then we'll get back to our meeting. Thank you.
Probably have to go to Ole Lieutenant to get your clothes made, though.
Okay, we are now going to reconvene. Could we have roll call, please?
Here.
Here. Here.
Whoa.
Whoa. Hey, I did the same thing. It took me a minute, too.
Here. Before we continue, Dave did call me this morning, and he is under the weather, so I promised him I would say that. So if you're watching, Dave, I did that. And if you're still sick, I feel sorry for you, buddy.
He's watching as he is sick.
Okay, now, presentation. Commendations to Reserve Officer George Landon, and Officer Michael Martinez, and Officer Kelly Cook. Could we have the chief, please?
Okay. Honorable members of the city council, mayor, tonight's my opportunity to present awards to three of our officers, and if I can get Reserve Officer George Palladian to come up.
Mike, please, John.
George is a reserve for us, and he also works at CMC, and he's also a dispatcher.
But on November 4th at 12:25, George was off duty with his family having lunch at the Arroyo Grande's McDonald's. He noticed an elderly gentleman seated across from your family who appeared to be in distress. The elderly gentleman stood up and was attempting to get everyone's attention that would help him. He noticed his color was becoming blue, and you realized he could not breathe. You quickly responded and performed the Heimlich maneuver, dislodging the food from his throat on the first attempt. You instructed employees behind the counter to call 911 for medical response. The elderly gentleman began breathing normally and sat down to regain his composure. Prior to the Arroyo Grande Fire Department arriving on scene in the ambulance, the elderly citizen left the restaurant. Without your quick action to his distress, this elderly citizen was in danger of choking to death. And I'd like to present this life-saving medal to you, George, for your fine work. I think what's important is with all these people in the restaurant that are supposedly trained and all of that, it took George standing up with his police training on how to provide, how to do the Heimlich hug. If you don't know what that is, you reach around from behind, around in the stomach area, and you squeeze in real quick, presses the diaphragm, and pushes the food up through the esophagus and out of the person's mouth. So again, George, thank you for a great job.
Thank you.
If I can get Officer Michael Martinez to come forward, and Kelly Cook. Are you watching, Samantha? Okay. He removed the knife from his stomach and stood up holding the knife in a threatening manner and refused to follow the officer's commands. In response to this action, you deployed, Officer Martinez, your service revolver as a backup deadly force contingent. Officer Cook maintained the less lethal option of the sandbag shotgun. Officer Cook pointed the sandbag shotgun at the suicidal subject and ordered him to drop the knife. The suicidal subject refused and backed into a nearby bathroom, still holding the knife. Officer Cook followed, and as he tried to close the door, that's the suspect tried to close the door, Officer Cook kicked it open with his foot. The suicidal subject approached the door with the knife still in his hand and attempted again to close the door. Officer Cook continued to order him to drop the knife. In order to prevent the suicidal subject from locking himself inside the bathroom and continuing to injure himself or to place the officers in a deadly force situation by advancing on them, the suicidal subject was shot with the sandbag shotgun twice. When he did not drop the knife, Officer Cook fired a second time. The suicidal subject was subdued and transported to Arroyo Grande Hospital for medical treatment. You both are to be commended for your restraint and not using deadly force in an obvious stressful situation. You provided a deadly force option if needed, if either you or Officer Cook were placed in jeopardy. So it was officers working again in teamwork. One has the less lethal, one has the lethal. And it's been my honor now twice in the last 3 months to award medals to officers when they use the less lethal force. And I'm extremely happy and proud to present these Meritus Service Awards to these officers for a fine job. You notice Officer Kelly Cook also has the Medal of Valor when he went into a burning house and they saved the girl down on South 8th Street, if you remember, about 2 years ago.
Correct.
You either have anything to say?
I'd just like to say that I feel very fortunate that my department allows me to take place in the training that allows us to handle very stressful situations. And I feel very fortunate that I had the ability to make the right decision in this incident.
In addition to that, I appreciate the show of appreciation in a job that often entails a lot of negatives. This is a much, much appreciated positive that helps keep us motivated.
Yeah.
Can I jump in one more thing since we're all out of order?
Oh, you didn't want to come up here when I was a mayor. Now you want to be up here all night, huh?
Yeah. Sometime later tonight, I may leave the meeting early, and that's to attend a meeting with the cats. And today is their fourth year in it.
At the next meeting, and in appreciation of their 4 years of that might be something that we might want to do.
Wonderful thought, councilperson.
Too bad you're not mayor anymore.
See what happens when you get over there. You can't talk. It's that microphone has something to do with it.
Okay, it's now time for public communications, and from now on, if you have anything that you'd like to say on our agenda, there is cards back there that you can fill out and bring in to our city clerk. So we are now open for public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on any items that is not on the agenda. Is there anyone who'd like to speak? You all come. Okay, we'll bring it back. Now we'll go on to the consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be pulled? Okay, could I have a motion, please?
I move the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mr. Scholes, seconded by Mr. Arnoldson. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Scholes?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnoldson?
Yes.
Councilmember Lieberman?
Yes.
Mayor Santos?
Yes. Okay, moving on to public hearings. There's none at this time. Now we'll move on to regular business. A status report on the People's Kitchen Committee.
Before we proceed.
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
On one item.
Okay, I'm going home.
We're on item 11. Ron? Okay, nobody told me. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just a brief report, receive and file on item 11. Okay.
Shall I proceed with item 11?
Just a minute.
Yeah. You make up your mind.
Are we going to have item 12 before 11?
That's up to you.
That's okay.
That was a request.
A request? Okay. I'm sorry. We are going to have item 12 before we have 11. So we're going to move on to item 12 first. And that's informational report regarding the over-the-counter permits or permits via fast mail. Okay.
Thank you. Susan Zalschuk, Assistant Community Development Director, standing in for Jake Raper, the director. As you're aware, we've been implementing several measures from our Blue Ribbon Committee and the Community Development Department to help streamline the building permit process. And while we've been doing that, we've had on board Frank Smith from JAS Pacific, a consulting firm that provides us contract building inspection services and building plan check services. Frank's been
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
As Susan has said, the Building and Safety Department or the Community Development Department is trying to streamline. And we've had some ideas of what we would like to do in that streamlining process. And what a lot of different cities are doing is doing a thing called permits by fax. These are some of the more simple items, things that don't need a designer or a full set of plans to do. Things like water heater replacement, re-roofs, electrical, basic residential electrical service replacements, temporary power pole, and I think a couple of you are familiar with window replacements. Some of these things should be handled directly over the counter. This shouldn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes for a permit technician or a plan checker to be able to look at the application, hand out some of the appropriate standard, which you'll find in the back. It's kind of mismatched, but things like water heater replacements and stuff like that. And the standards that I have shown here are borrowed from other jurisdictions, just to give you guys an idea of what other jurisdictions are doing, such as Lompoc, City of Agoura Hills, and also City of Santa Maria. So this is to show you guys, but this is by no means something that we're doing alone. We want to bring us back up into what all the other jurisdictions, whatever the five cities are doing as well. Once we've got everything, the Blue Ribbon Committee has all their opinions, and we get some more input from Jake Raper. We'll be putting city logos from the city of Grover Beach and all these and making it all formatted. One of the things also that I'm implementing is that I believe Councilman Lieberman would have liked to have found today is it's on the second or third page, is one of these hello cards. And these cards right here, can I put this right here? What it is is that if a client isn't home, client or homeowner's not home, we hang one of these tags on the door. It's much more friendly than leaving them a big old giant correction notice, which it looks almost like a traffic ticket. This is much more user-friendly. Other jurisdictions are doing it as well. So this is one of the good things that we're bringing to the city.
Would it be easier if we turn the lights down just a tad so that way the public at home could see what we're talking about? There you go.
And we'll be putting the city logo on
Perfect.
On these cards at the bottom as well, maybe at the bottom or at the top. So we haven't completely perfected the system as of yet. But the the fax permit should be up and running by next week, and the ultimate goal is to be able to have these available online. And that way contractors, the normal contractors that work here in the city, the re-roof contractors, the plumbers and stuff like that, can go ahead and download them, or the homeowner who wants to do the patio cover, which eventually will be covered in this as well, can go ahead and download that, fill it out online, and then fax it back to us. And the goal is to reduce the time that those plans are sitting behind the counter. There really is no reason why the plans can't be taken and the permit be given.
They want to update it with a double pane instead of single pane, or the wood is rotted out. Why would they have to replace their roof? I have to have a building permit to do that. Why would they have to have a building permit to do simple things like a water heater? Because I think a lot of people in the community don't understand what the rationale behind that is. So this is an excellent time to kind of inform people.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I'll state it right now. As far as the window replacement is concerned, window replacement basically would fall into a planning issue if they were being replaced with the like kind. Building and safety wouldn't really require it if it was going to be replaced with the same exact size window. Once a window gets smaller, we need to know what the size of that window is, because there was ventilation issues and also natural light issues that come into effect. If the window is getting smaller, there's also emergency egress issues that come into effect. If the window is getting larger, we need to make sure that the header is the proper size for the opening to transfer shear and also to hold up, you know, the roof loads and all that other good stuff. So that's for the window replacement. As far as a water heater replacement goes, there is if it's an electric water heater, we need to make sure that it's wired up safely. You know, we don't want any grounding going off and then somebody grabbing a water faucet and getting shocked. If it's a gas water heater, there are certain requirements that are mandated by the California Building Code for strapping. It needs to be strapped for seismic. It needs to be vented properly. We don't want get carbon monoxide free-flowing through the house or through the garage or into the attic space. There's also natural gas or propane. We need to make sure that those connections are proper. And at that time, we also like to make sure that the entire gas system has been pressurized and is not leaking anywhere.
Let me ask you a question right now on that, too. Do all of these have to be done by a certified contractor, or can the homeowner do these type of repairs by themselves as long as they get a permit and get the work inspected?
Yes, a homeowner can do anything he wants to his own home as provided by the California Building Code. So water heater change-outs, window change-outs, re-roofs can all be done by the homeowner. And this stuff is designed to be homeowner-friendly. We have some new handouts that are coming out that are very self-explanatory, and our department is here to walk the homeowners through these steps. If they don't know, well, we're going to go out there and we're going to kind of show you how to do this, you know, because we understand that contractors are expensive and some people are in fixed incomes. A lot of people are in fixed incomes in this town, and they may not have all the skills to put together a water heater or a window replacement. So these handouts and also the way we conduct our business here lends to that sort of help. But as continuing on, re-roofs, we want to make sure that we don't have more than two layers of roofing on for weight, period, just for weight. Mm-hmm. Those pre-manufactured trusses and the old-style single-core truss were not designed to hold too much weight. And when we start talking about composite roofs that might weigh 400 pounds per 100 square feet, and then we lay another one on there and then another one, so this is why we need roofing inspection for that. When the contractors take it down or the homeowner takes it down to the bare wood, we like to go up and take a look.
To download this information, so it's nice to make sure that we take care of everyone.
Absolutely, and that's the goal of the Community Development Department, to make sure everyone is treated equally and friendly and fair.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
You too.
Okay, comments from the council?
Yeah. Well, as a recent customer pulling a permit for a window replacement,
might be another avenue that we look towards, because we did that.
Maybe, Councilman Scholes, we wrestled with that at staff level because we hate to put improvements on the surface and then come back later and tear them up. But the practicality of the matter is that the storm drain is quite a few years in the future, as we speak, it looks to me. So that it would be unreasonable to have delayed the West Grand Avenue track of mitigation to accommodate that.
I would agree. Thank you.
Snag in phase one, when we did the final walkthrough on phase one on South 16th Street in front of the courts, we realized that the sidewalks in front of the courts were in very bad condition and that it would be remiss to rebuild that street and not address the sidewalks. And then tied to the sidewalk issue are those very large and beautiful magnolia trees in front of the court system. And we're working with an arborist right now to see how we can save those trees and rebuild the sidewalk and still get a reasonable lifespan out of the new sidewalk, because the trees will likely affect the new sidewalk over a period of a decade or so. So as soon as we get that report, which we're expecting middle of this week, we'll be ready to go on those two phases. And then phase three, as the exhibit on the wall indicates, we'll be ready to award in February.
Jim, before you move on, is it possible that you could, for the folks in the audience and those at home that are watching this, kind of describe what phase one, phase two, and phase three? I mean, I have something we can put on the screen unless you have something better.
I did bring a list. There are quite a few streets on these phases, phase one, let's see. Oh, thank you. Someone has a piece of paper I don't have.
Yeah.
You, Mr. Arnoldson. Phase one is Saratoga Avenue, 13th to 14th, and you'll recall that segment is one where we are expecting to have some participation from some residences on curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Some flooding issues in that area. Brighton Avenue, 8th to 9th Streets, and South 16th Street, Grand to Long Branch Avenue, and includes that segment in front of the courts. Phase 2 is Newport Avenue, Front Street to 1st Street, 1st Street, North 1st Street, Newport Avenue to Atlantic City Avenue, North 5th Street, Saratoga Avenue to Parkview Avenue, North 6th Street, Atlantic City Avenue to Parkview Avenue. And then phase three is South 10th Street, Long Branch Avenue to Rockaway Avenue, Seabright Avenue, 4th to 5th Street, and South 5th Street, Trouville Avenue to Seabright Avenue. So quite a number of streets in those three phases. And if I recall the...
And how it may impact them during the construction period.
Very good. Thank you.
And while we're still on local streets, is there an update on, I think we're going to do a 1-inch overlay on South 4th from Grand to Farrell?
That project is funded out of the annual operating maintenance budget. The contractor has been waiting to be able to get enough materials to do one continuous pour. My understanding is that the target date for getting that is December 8th, as I recall.
Thank you, staff.
Well, to go on, then, the last project listed on this sheet on the board tonight is the boardwalk project, and that project is ready to move forward. I believe the City of Pismo Beach, who is the lead agency in the project, has, between you two councils, you've ordered the contract, and we're ready to begin with the CCC work. And the major boardwalk itself will begin in January.
Thank you.
apologize. That's one I've written all over.
You want another one?
So I can't. So I don't forget what I'm supposed to tell you. Anyway, the first on that sheet, which is the last sheet, is the La Selva Lift Station, which is a wastewater pumping station at the corner, or roughly the corner of La Selva and Encinitas. And that's a station that's fairly old, and we're rebuilding that station. Council's awarded the contract, and the contractor has submitted submittal drawings and has been authorized to order equipment. So as we speak tonight, we're simply waiting for the equipment to arrive. And again, the same answer to a question you haven't answered yet, Mr. Arnoldson, is the lead time on that equipment is long, and but in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 weeks at least. 16th Street Park improvements, that's a recreational department project, and it includes addition of a canopy over the barbecue area, Americans with Disability improvements to the park to allow better access, and new picnic tables, which allow people in wheelchairs to gain access to the picnic tables. What's happened so far on that is there have been bids received, but only two bids were received, and one of those was late. So the department has decided to clarify the contract and rebid because we jointly believe that if we rebid, we'll get a much better price for the work and hopefully be within budget. So for tonight, at least, that is, the bids have been rejected and it will be taken back out to bid. Last but not least are the improvements at the intersection of South 16th Street and Highland, and there are several participants in that project. We have a bond that goes back to Bob Newdahl and him doing some improvements in that area. We have
is that 16th or 13th?
13th. I'm sorry, yeah. 13th Street. Yeah. I misspoke. Thank you. South 13th Street in Highland. And we have a bond from Bob Newdahl to do some of the work. The city is doing some of the work. Ron's R&R Nursery is doing some of the work. And the
division at this time has a line. The grade really hasn't changed. It's still isn't, you know, it's staying pretty close to what it was before.
In the area where the Newdahl project is, the grade is not changing very much, but it is changing some. As you go through the intersection of 13th and Highland, the grade will change fairly significantly, especially on the west side. And you're right, there was a change in the design grade of 13th and Highland about the year that Tom Sullivan left. It was decided to reduce the amount of curvature change somewhat, but not still would require a fair amount of regrading of the street.
It seemed like that was a catch-22. If you lowered 13th to get line of sight, you were going to have Highland dip into that area. It seemed like that would be tough for it to drain and have some drainage issues there. So it seemed like it was a can of worms.
All of those things you bring up are exactly right. Although we believe that the Highland, coming in from Highland, we will always be going through in that from Highland and onto 13th rather slowly because it's a T intersection. Mm-hmm. And the through direction on 13th someday, certainly in our lifetime, I expect to see a signal at that location. And so that would mean that there will be a through traffic in that area which would not stop at all. Okay. With a green light.
And that's where the line of sight would be more important if you had a signal instead of a stop sign.
That's exactly right. Okay. So with that, any questions? Otherwise, I'm...
Jim, any luck in getting the cable company to respond as far as undergrounding or removing the overhead utilities?
At 13th and Highland?
At 13th and Highland.
I know that Mike Ford has been working extensively with those companies. They know they have to remove and relocate those utilities. I just don't know what the status is with them. So to answer your question, they will be removed and or relocated, but they haven't been done yet.
Okay. And I have one more question. I'm sorry, guys. I wasn't in the ball game when you first started at North Oak Park, and this is probably something more for the city manager. I was curious that I know we are going forward on North Oak Park, and I don't want to muddy the water there. I do know that we formed an underground utility undergrounding district up there, and I'm just was curious to know what the status of that was and if there was an opportunity to underground facilities, if there was any overlap.
The utility companies, when it comes to undergrounding districts, are notoriously slow. I just received a call about a week ago that they were beginning design on their undergrounding district. So we knew from the time that we instituted the idea of an undergrounding district there that it will likely not coincide with the project. And so we're therefore putting in conduits that we know about with the project so that we can come back and do the undergrounding in the future without tearing up street.
Why is there such a difficulty with the undergrounding utility people with these scenarios? A couple of years ago, we did Farrell, and we widened Farrell, and they moved all the poles back about, 6, 10, 15 feet. And it was a great opportunity to underground at that time, and we didn't do it because they were going to charge us so much. But they had to move the poles. It was on their own dime.
Follow. It cuts down on the narrative, and I appreciate this format. I like it.
Thank you.
Ditto.
And just to kind of tag on to what you were saying, Ron, one of our goals was to have the undergrounding utility districts, and I know that's probably further out, but I think one of the big things is it takes so long for these companies to go out there and to design these things, and it's prudent, or it's to our advantage to establish these districts now so that the funds can start to accrue. They already are, and then I think there's options where you can borrow against funds 4 years out. So we need to at least get something on the book and identify those areas where we want to underground. So for two councils removed from this one, there'll be money to underground the overhead utilities.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, this was just an informational item, but is there anyone in the audience who'd like to speak on this? And it has to be on this item that he just spoke on.
Intended to Oak Park.
Okay, very good.
Congratulations, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
I've had good luck with women, Mrs. Brackett, a few years ago, and Peg Bernard the other day. She got 14 people to help me out. So now then, I'm going to give you the chance on Oak Park.
I'm only one person, John.
Pardon?
I'm only one person.
I know, but you're a head honcho now. You're in the driver's seat.
Only in
on Oak Park. You know, Roy Grandy is building businesses. We're a bed and breakfast and bedroom community. Oak Park on the Grover Beach side is sort of like landlocked. Although there's no gates, there's no anything to interfere, but to get out and to go to that place of business or Christmas shop or whatever, Thanksgiving, it's impossible to get on that street. And we had talked about this a long time ago, when we take this light out at Ninth Street, why not put that over on Oak Park? Save some money. While you're doing that, transfer over.
We're not taking it out. We're just rebuilding it, aren't we? Yeah, so it's not coming out. It's just being rebuilt.
I thought there was a new light.
It's modernized.
That's what was said at one time. Well, anyway, when the Oak Park is finished, I think it's necessary to put a light up the top of the hill. Or just the other day, I was over at Oceana, and they got this stop sign I've been talking about with the dots around it. Oceana, you know, of course, that's county. But we need that. Our stop signs this town are terrible. But if you have a stop sign up on top of the hill and it brightens, because those, if they built that 108 convalescent home there at Cortland and Brighton, the bank, the drugstore, I don't understand. There's no traffic. So, anyway, if Mrs. Brackett and Peg Bernard, she had 14 people there to represent me, and I felt really good. That good lady is out.
Thank you, John.
One of the issues you're going to have to, we're going to deal.
And that's the way they had proposed it until Peg said, go back and refigure that, redo that. That's what we need to do. You know, they're looking out for the developer. He has just as much right as anybody else, but not to try to damage people's lives.
Thank you, John. Okay, moving on. Council committee reports. David, you're not here. Stephen?
Don't have much to report. Attended the Recreation Commission meeting and just wanted to announce the new director of that commission is Christy Turner. The alternate is Mina Vaughn. That's all I have.
Very good. Ron?
I have nothing new.
Okay. John?
I attended EVC, I believe it was last week, and I talked with Ray Johnson regarding the community ID and trying to find ways in which the EVC could assist the city better in trying to attract business. And I know they already are taking some of our marketing materials, but Ray has offered to take a look at the community ID and give us some input back on that. And also, I've asked them if they've got any other resources that they could throw our way. Please do. Outside of that, I don't have anything else to report.
Very good. I have nothing to report. Okay, moving on. City Manager's Agenda, Item 14. Proposed to schedule a joint City Council and Planning Commission meeting on either Wednesday, January 7th, or Wednesday, January 14th, or Wednesday, January 21st, 2004, to consider the issue of coastal review protection.
What you just said, Mayor, is what we're interested in getting direction from the council on. What's the best of those three dates for the council to meet with the Planning Commission in order to consider the proposed viewshed ordinance?
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Tomorrow too soon?
I would go for the 14th.
Of January?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good to me. Steve?
It works for me as well.
John?
That works for me.
Okay, David? Yes?
Tough.
January 14th.
Thank you.
Okay, City Council agenda, none at this time. Public communications, any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item of interest within this jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications, however, in compliance with the Brown Act. The council cannot take any action on items that are not on the agenda. Is there anyone out there? Cool. Bringing it back. Council communications, anybody have anything to?
Actually, I'm sorry, I do. I probably missed it on my last item on committee reports. Just wanted to bring everyone up to speed on this VLF backfill legislation that's on the floor in Sacramento, sponsored by Brulte, and I just want to let you guys know that I left messages in Sacramento for our representatives last week, and we'll see what goes on with that. It's still being manipulated.
Yeah, they call you right back, right?
Yeah, they're flying me up on Monday.
Arnold.
Be there yet. I'll give it a shot, see how I'm doing Saturday morning.
We're going to connect the wheelchair to the truck.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right, now we're going to move into the improvement agency. We're going to adjourn to the improvement agency. Okay, roll call, please.
Here.
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 Here. Public communications. There's no one here. Excuse me. There's one in the public. Do you have anything to say? Okay. Sorry. Moving on to the consent agenda.
There's no one that wants to pull the items for discussion or separate consideration. I will move consent. Move approval of items A1 and A2.
Second.
Okay. The motion's been made. Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Regular improvement agency business. None at this time. Now we'll adjourn back to council, city council meeting. Okay. We're going to go into closed session. With conference with legal counsel pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, Diamond versus the City of Grover Beach. We are adjourned.
Good job, guys.